devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narotamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirahe. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Rutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Govindaya Namo Namaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, entitled The Elements of Material Creation, Text Number 43. Nityada hi angabhutani bhavanti na bhavanti cha kalena yaksha vegena Shukshmatvat Tana Drishyate Nityadahi Angabhutani Bhavanti Na Bhavanti Cha Kalena Yaklaksha Vegena Shukshmavat Tanaya Drishyate Nityadahi Angabhutani Bhavanti Na Bhavanti Cha Kalena Yaksha Vegena Shukshmadvat Tanna Drishyate Nityadahi Angabhutani Bhavanti Na Bhavanti Cha Kalena Lakshya Vegena Shukshmadvata Tanna Drishyate. Matajis.
Yeah.
Nityada, constantly. He, indeed. Anga, my dear Uddhav. Bhutani, created bodies. Bhavanti, come into being. Na bhavanti, go out of being. Cha, and. Kalena, by time. Alakshya, imperceptible. Vegena, whose speed. Sukshmavat, because of being very subtle. Tat, that. Na drishyate, is not seen. Translation, my dear Uddhav, material bodies are constantly undergoing creation and destruction by the force of time, whose swiftness is imperceptible. But because of the subtle nature of time, no one sees this. Verse 44. The different stages of transformation of all material bodies occur just like those of the flame of a candle, the current of a river, or the fruits of a tree. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The wavering flame of a candle sometimes waxes brightly and again becomes weak. Finally, it vanishes altogether. The waves of a flowing river rise and fall, creating innumerable shapes and patterns. The fruits of a tree gradually take birth, grow, ripen, sweeten, and eventually rot and die. Similarly, one can easily understand that one's own body is undergoing constant transformation and that the body is certainly subject to old age, disease, and death. At different times of life, the body exhibits degrees of sexual potency, physical strength, desire, wisdom, and so on. As the body grows old, physical strength diminishes, but one's knowledge may increase even as the body undergoes such transformation. Material birth and death occur within the realms of segmented time. The birth, creation, or production of material object immediately connects it with a segmented sequence of subtle time within the material world. Thus, its destruction or death is inevitable. The irresistible force of time moves so subtly that only the most intelligent can perceive it. Just as the candle flame gradually diminishes as the flowing currents move within the river or as fruits gradually ripen on tree, the material body is steadily moving towards inevitable death. I repeat, the material body is steadily moving towards inevitable death. The temporary body should therefore never be confused with the eternal unchanging spirit soul. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So we are further continuing this beautiful discussion between Lord Krishna and Uddhav, which as we all know is called Uddhav Gita. And very, very interesting, very wonderful to see that something that we read in many times when we initially come to Krishna consciousness about the aspect of we are not being the body, we are the soul, the effect of time. This is the topics of Bhagavad Gita. Very important, very profound, very deep. But that's something that we read in the initial times and we think that yes, as we go further, as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we will try to go more deeper into Krishna consciousness and we'll try to understand more deeper and profound and esoteric aspects of Krishna consciousness. And yes, to some extent, as we read the Bhagavatam, you understand the various pastimes leading to the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which is very, very esoteric pastime of Krishna. But again, we come to the same point in the 11th canto, and it's so interesting and so very sobering, I would say, to again read in much more details the discussion between Krishna and Uddhav, talking about the same important subject matter. And what's that? That we are not this body. I mean, if even if a student of Bhagavatam, he reads the Bhagavatam every day, one verse, I think our temple, when was the last, when did we start the first canto? When it took what? I don't even know if somebody has attended right from beginning. We must have started 10 years back or maybe 12, 15, I don't know when it started. Radha Dyuti Prabhu, when? 2004, it was the fourth canto, can you imagine? So I think even if somebody is been there, of course I happened to be around, but I don't even remember attending, when did I first attend this verses. And we have gone through the whole beautiful gamut of knowledge that has been given to us through the Bhagavatam. And personally for me, it was so very sobering, I would say again, that Krishna is again saying to Uddhav that you are not this body in a beautiful way, and talks about the time factor. And very, very interesting, and I was trying to just give a thought to it, that why is it that Krishna is repeating this again and again and again? And then there was some thought process done, and then we came to some conclusion that Krishna is using, please understand, the examples that Krishna personally is using. Very interesting that Krishna is taking certain natural phenomenon and is using that to learn beautiful lessons. And Krishna himself, the creator, is using the examples of his own creation in this material world to teach lessons to all of us. And he's himself quoting it. And what is that lessons? He's talking about the flame. And it is very interesting that every time you see a flame in a candle, I mean, we have been burning the beautiful lamps for Damodar. Every second you see the flame is still on, right? And there's something, sometimes we have what is called the Akhanda Jyot. I was told that in the place of Gambira, you know, there is this particular lamp which has been going on since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since the time he has been there, that the lamp is still going there. And we say it is Akhanda Jyot, it is the eternal lamp, or eternal flame which is burning. But if you see, and as Krishna is quoting this example here, every second when you see the flame burning, it is a different flame. It is not the same flame. It is a different part of that particular fuel, whether it is ghee or a petrol or a wax or whatever you are using. It is a different fuel which is igniting that flame. So in one sense, it is a different flame. Every time you point a finger towards Mother Ganges, I say, this is Mother Ganga. Yes, it is Mother Ganga. But every second, the water is different. Isn't it? So there's constantly change. The flame is changing. It looks like the same flame, but every second it's a different flame. And similarly, the water, as is quoted by Krishna himself, the water of river or the water of the ocean. How many millions of years is the Jagannath Puri ocean, for that matter, is just throwing water? I mean, it's just flowing since eternity. I mean, not eternity, but yes, since millions of years. And we still say it is the same ocean. But is it the same ocean? Every second it's a different water. Please give a thought to it. And that is why what is interesting here is that the effect of time is sukshma, imperceptible. You don't realize it. But it is happening. And the great thing is, it is constantly happening. Every second there is a change. Just imagine a situation. If we played a game today, we are not going to play a game, but we just imagine. If we play a game there, okay, you know, get all of you in this room, get your photograph when you were 5 years old. And we get everybody gives the photograph. And we say, now, please match the photograph of the five with the person present here. How many of you think can get 100% marks? Even 50%. How many of us can match Sridharma Das, for that matter, 5 years when he was and now whatever the age is, 47. It's change. It's completely, it's the same person, but there's complete change. And we have been hearing in the Gita courses that every 7 years your cells, even your brain cells change. You are a different person every 7 years. Physically speaking, it's constantly changing. So the point is, Krishna is telling us right here that my dear Uddhav, the material bodies are constantly undergoing creation and destruction by the force of time, whose swiftness is imperceptible, but because of the subtle nature of time, no one can see it. And then subsequently goes on to say the examples of the candle and the river water. And he says that you cannot consider something which is constantly changing as permanent. So if our body, for that matter, is constantly changing, the river water is constantly changing, the flame is constantly changing. So what is important? Why is this discussion happening at the 11th canto of Bhagavatam? What is the take-home message for all of us as students of Bhagavatam today? What are we trying to learn today from this particular verses? If you see that we invest our time and energy and our everything in something that we think we are. Yes? Something that is very dear to us. We invest our time. I was just reading, just a few days back, I was reading the story of Krishna and the Kaliya demon. And Prabhupada uses a very beautiful verse in the purport. He uses a line that, very interesting, of course, this is from one of the books written by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. He says that every different leelas of Krishna, they were not everybody present. Like some leelas were only with the coward boys. Some leelas were only with the gopis. Some leelas were only with Mother Yashoda and the elderly people. If you see, analyze, there was not many leela, or rather there were no leelas where everybody was present except for the Kaliya leela, where all the gopis, where all the gopas, where all the elders were present except for Rohini, because she was told to make prasad for everybody. Only she was not there. Balram was there, Yashoda was there, Nanda Maharaj was there, the gopis were there, gopas were there. Everyone was there on the banks where Krishna was fighting Kaliya. Interesting. If you see sometimes Krishna did Rasalila. Rasalila? Yes, Krishna did Rasalila with the gopis. The gopas were not there. Krishna did Gocharan Lila. The gopis were not. The gopis were hankering there. Oh, Krishna has gone to Gocharan. They would be thinking of Krishna, but they were not physically present. But the deers and the cows and everybody was present with the gopas. And when Krishna came back to Vrindavan, the gopis were there inviting, the elderly gopis would invite Krishna. But the deers and cows and gopas were not there, right? You understand? So all the leelas that Krishna did, there were few different type of devotees present. But the Krishna leela, I mean the Kaliya, the subduing the Kaliya demon, every single devotee from Vrindavan were present. And Prabhupada uses this phrase, and it's very interesting. I said, all the Brijbasis were about to commit suicide. Because the person whom they had completely invested their hearts in was in trouble. Very interesting. The person in whom they had completely invested their life and soul and heart in was in the coils of apparently looking death personified. Kaliya was snake and Krishna was in. They were losing their life. The Krishna, we have given everything. In one sense, for a materialist, as we say, I have bet everything on this person. For example, if somebody buys a stock, those who are stock buyers, you know, they I bet on this stock and I know this stock is going to rise and I bet all my whole life earning on this stock. You bet everything on it and then you see the stock nose diving. You're finished. It's end of the world for you. People commit suicide and people do commit suicide. We have seen different scams coming out in the world right now in India. Different banks going bust. And people's hard-earned money, they had bet on that bank. That bank is something which they found security, where they would put in their money and they said that this bank will make my money secure. And when the bank goes bust, the people have nothing to go. They commit suicide. And there are people committing suicide right now. So sad and so unfortunate. So the point is that where we find value and security, we put our life's investment in that place. Where we can identify ourselves. So if we identify with our bodies, we will put our life and energy in our body. If we identify with our thoughts, we'll put our energy in our thoughts. If we identify ourselves with the emotions, we put all our energy in our emotions. That is why Krishna is saying, the first, my dear friends, while you are reading the Bhagavatam, while you are wonderfully relishing the pastimes of myself and my devotees, I time and again remind you that please remember, you are not this body. Because you must put your bet on something which is permanent. Everything in this world is impermanent, constantly changing. As we say, the only thing that does not change is change. It's always there. The Himalayas are changing imperceptibly, slowly. And the change is that everything in the material world is slowly decaying and getting devoured by the aspect of time. Mrityu sarva aharschaham. Through that time factor, Krishna is destroying everything. Everything is changing. Everything is going towards the mouth of death. So Krishna is saying, don't bet on things which are temporary. Your body is changing. Like the water in the river, like the flames, don't bet on it. Bet on something, put your heart, put your soul on something which is permanent. And that's what the spirit's soul. That's why in the purport, the disciples of Prabhupada have beautifully written, the temporary body should therefore never be confused with the eternal, unchanging spirit soul. So this is what is constantly happening. So we should understand that our bodies, many times we think we are the body. But we say, which body? The 5-year-old body or the 10-year-old body or the 15-year-old body is a different body.
So which body are we talking about? It's changing. You cannot be saying, which body are you? No, I'm not. Which body? No, I don't know which body. Okay. Most of us, we say we are not the body for sure. We are happy. But many times we identify ourselves with the mind. We constantly work on the mental platform and we are so involved with the in the mind. But just imagine, 20 years back, what really caused you tremendous stress? Say for example, we were all students. Many of us were 25 years, 30 years, we were all students. And what causes stress that time? The mind was stressed because the homework is not done. You realize that at 7:30, when the school is starting at 7:40, you have not done this homework. Oh my God, what will happen? But do you identify with that stress anymore? It's finished, it's gone. It's changed. There's a different stress which has come in your life. And the stress for all devotees is, I have not chanted my rounds yet, 16 rounds. It's constant stress, for example. So, body, the mind, the thoughts, what we think. And because of the thoughts, many times we become very, very angry. The emotions are aroused. But how many of us, at least I find out, when we're angry, we are like intensely angry, and what we speak is something terrible. And when we sit back after that bout of anger, and you think, I said, was it really worth it? What am I doing? What did I do? Was it really worth getting angry? Was these emotions justifiable? Because things have changed. So can we call ourselves to be an angry person? That we were angry 1 hour back, or when we tell ourselves to be a cool person? No, neither of that. Because we are neither angry or neither cool. We are neither the body, we are neither the mind, we are neither the emotions. The point is, we are constantly changing. And many times, because of this constant change, we tend to forget, because there's so much of change happening, we tend to forget the purpose of why, when it comes to Krishna consciousness, why we originally started Krishna consciousness. The reason, my dear friends, if you analyze it deep within your hearts, the reason why we began our process of Krishna consciousness, or for that matter, continued our process of Krishna consciousness from wherever we ended in our previous life, the reason is because we wanted to be attached to something which is permanent. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate satta upayor bidrishtantas tva anayosh tattva darshibhi. That which is real does not cease to be, and that which is unreal does not really exist. When we realize this fact from the Bhagavad Gita, nasato vidyate na asato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha upayor abhidrishyantas tva anayosh tattva darshibi. A darshibi person, a person who has got vision, he realizes that that which is real does not cease to be. If something is real happiness, it will not cease to be, and we are all trying to find that real happiness, the real bliss that we are looking at. But don't you feel, ask yourselves, that we are caught up into the network of the busyness of life, the chores of life, the activities of life. Our Krishna consciousness is no more a consciousness, it's all about our activities, it's based on all activities, and no more consciousness based. Maybe, for many of us, we should ask ourselves. It's just constant activities. So that is why Krishna is reminding us again that please understand, things are changing. Don't be attached to the changing. Today you are a young devotee and you are a dynamic preacher, and you get attached to your dynamism of preaching. It's not going to be permanent, my dear friend. In 20 years, you will be sitting on the nothing against, but you will be doing simple service of distributing Charanamrit. Don't be attached to your physical service, be attached to pleasing Krishna. If you find yours, believe me, it's depressing. We meet so many devotees and they just can't accept what they really are. Because they always live in the past. I used to do so many things, but now I cannot do. There is very, very poor self-acceptance many a times. Because we do not accept the aspect of change. We have changed. I remember, I was just many years back, I was at Sridhar Mayapur. And I was with my spiritual master. There was an uproarious dancing crazy kirtan which happened in the temple hall of the Mayapur Chandrodai Mandir. And then I was walking with my spiritual master and I said, Mahārāj, beautiful kirtan, wonderful dancing. I said, Mahārāj, but devotee, I was telling him. This was just 10 years back, so I was 37 years old. So I said, Mahārāj, devotees are dancing too vigorously. It's just too aggressive. And he said, you know something? That 20 years back, some devotees told me the same thing about you. That you were dancing so vigorously. Now it has changed. You find other devotees dancing vigorously. The point is, everybody is changing. From youth, we have a different particular mindset. Then as we further change, our thinking process changes. Our likes, dislikes changes. Our energy levels change. This is a fact of life. Let's accept it. Let's have this reality of self-acceptance. Otherwise it's very difficult to really accept that how slowly but surely, as Krishna is saying, the body is heading towards the all-powerful devouring death. Now, we are not trying to be pessimist here. We are not thinking, oh, let's always meditate upon death. It is going to happen and fine, it will happen when it happens. But the fact is, we need to understand things are changing. And we should not get caught up into the activity aspects of our Krishna consciousness. But we should be more attached to what is the consciousness that it is adding. These activities that I am doing, what consciousness is this adding to my spiritual practices? That's very, very important. And there's a beautiful story to really support this. Very, very interesting story. Something that we all will be able to relate to. This is the story about the spiritual master of Shripad Ramanujacharya. Shripad Jamunacharya. Jamunacharya's grandfather was a great scholar and a devotee of the name Nathamuni. And Jamunacharya's father, I'm not able to recollect his name, he left his body when Jamuna, he was not an acharya that time, when child Jamuna was very young. And he was sent to the Gurukul of Bhavash Acharya. He was learning from at the Gurukul of Bhavash Acharya. And that time they were at the kingdom of, it was a rule of the Pandya king. And the Pandya king had a very powerful scholar of the name Kolahal. And he was such a scholar, such a powerful scholar, and such passion he had to exhibit his scholarship and to really get the defeat letter from people, that he would just challenge people, and if they got defeated, then the king had made a rule that every year the defeated scholars had to pay tax to the king. So in one of the debates, Bhavacharya was defeated by Kolahal. And every year he had to pay tax. So some of his students, who were arrogant tax collectors on behalf of Kolahal, came to the ashram of Bhavacharya, who was a guru of Jamuna. He was a young boy that time. They came to his ashram and said, "Where is your guru? He has not yet paid the tax yet. How dare he not pay the tax?" Very arrogant people. You can judge the fruit. You can judge the tree by the fruit. So Jamunacharya said, "Who are you?" I said, "If a person can have disciples as arrogant as you, I can judge what your guru must be. Just tell your guru that I challenge him for a debate." And he was just maybe what, 12 years old that time. Yeah, 12 years old. "I challenge him for the debate." I said, are you serious? He said, I'm really serious. Because I want to teach him a lesson. He doesn't understand the power of my guru. An insignificant student of Bhavacharya, like myself, I can defeat that kolahal. That was the confidence he had. Not in himself, of course, but his confidence was coming from his complete surrender to his guru. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittite Koryo Akya Arana Koryo Mane Asha. That he had made his life and soul the service to his guru. And through that service, through that dedication, everything was there to support him. So he challenged and he said, go and tell kolahal. So the news went, they told kolahal that a child, 12 years old, had challenged you for a debate. The news came to the Pandya king. The Pandya king said, okay, call him, are you serious? I said, are you, you know what are the consequences? If you are defeated by this kolahal, you will be facing a death penalty. I said, but no, he's a young boy. I said, if not death penalty, but that your guru will have to pay double the tax. I said, okay, I'm serious. I definitely want to debate. I still want to debate kolahal. So I said, okay, you come. I said, no, I will not come like this. I'm one of the debaters. You need to send me a royal palanquin. I will not just come. I'm debating a royal debater from your courtroom. So the king sent a royal palanquin and the news spread all over the kingdom. Very interesting. That a young, tiny Jamuna is challenging the mighty, powerful kolahal. And it was so much exciting that there was a wager between the king and the queen. The Pandya king was supporting kolahal. He said, my debater will completely crush to pieces this particular tiny child. And the queen said, I bet that just like a small fire can destroy the whole big bundle of cloth. Similarly, this tiny child who is like a small spark will destroy the huge bundle of ego of kolahal. I bet on it. And king said, okay, we'll have a wager. He said, yes, I'll have a wager. Okay, king, if your debater wins, then I'll become the servant of your maid servants. And the king said, okay, and if this child wins, then I'll give half of my kingdom to that child. He said, okay, done. I get we should not bet, especially husband and wife, as is a lesson from this. Anyways, so there was a bet, and there was a debate, as we are running short of time, but beautiful debate. Kolahal was asking very simple questions. And Jamuna was just answering. I said, hey, come on, ask me some more difficult questions. Don't go by my size, go by my intellect. Ask me some more difficult questions. He asked more difficult questions, more and more. And Jamuna was answering. Brilliant. And everybody was stunned. I said, who is this child? See, he was reflecting his guru bhakti. Please understand, my dear friends. The surrender to guru brings about such amazing power. Such amazing conviction. Krishna is there to support such a person. So he was able to answer. And he said, now let me ask you three questions. And if you can refute those three questions, I accept defeat. The first question, kolahal, to you. You've been asking me all this time, now I ask you only three questions. The first question to you, prove or refute that your mother is a barren woman. Second, refute that the king is not the most righteous person, religious person. That means to prove that king is not the most religious person. And prove and refute that the queen is chaste to the king. That means you have to prove that the queen is not chaste to the king alone. She has some other relations. So when he heard this three, he said, first question itself, he was thinking, how can I prove this? Because if I prove my mother is a barren woman, then how am I born? So he was confused. Then he said, okay, ask the second question, the third question. And kolahal, obviously when you have no substance, the only thing that you have is anger. Many times I see in myself and many times I see in others, that when there's no substance, it gives rise to anger. Anger is nothing but outcome of no substance. If you have substance, you usually don't get angry. You have patience, you have the understanding, you have the power to control your emotions. See, he said, how can you do this? Now you refute, he said. You can never prove all these points. Now you refute. I said, very simple. First, I'm going to Manu Samhita, that the lady who has only one child, even though she has a child, she has only one child, she is technically considered to be a barren woman. And you, Kolahal, are the only child of your mother, so your mother is a barren woman. The king is, of course, the most righteous person, but is explained again in the Manu Samhita that the king takes 1/5 of all the good and the bad karma of all the citizens that he's ruling. And because it is Kali Yuga, there are more bad karma than the good karma. So even though king is himself more righteous, but he takes 1/5 of the karma of good and bad, and because he's taking more of the bad karma of people, because there are more bad karma happening, he is not the most righteous person. So wow, this is, everybody was like, come on. And then the last one. And the queen, of course, the queen is completely chaste to the king. She cannot think of anybody else. But according to Manu Samhita also, in the king's body, there are so many different demigods residing, like Chandra, Vayu, and so many other demigods. So while she's serving the king, she's also parallelly serving so many demigods. So she is in one sense technically not completely only chaste to the king, because she is also serving other demigods. So she is not chased to the king alone. And of course it was uproarious. It was a momentous time. A 12-year-old child had won in front of Kolahal. And as for the wager, my dear friends, half of the kingdom was given to the 12-year-old child. And the king did follow. He didn't say, oh well, it's okay. You know, it was just a fun. No. It was serious business. So he gave half his kingdom to the child. Of course, that's not the story what we want to say. The child, Jamuna, many of us have gone through this situation. In the beginning, we are very humble, nice people, but we find some success in our spiritual practices. And through that spiritual practices, success, so much of name, fame, adoration and distinction comes, whether we are different services that we perform. And Jamuna, through his humble service to his king, he got this whole kingdom. One fine day, just few hours back, he was the most humble brahmachari in his guru's ashram, and now he's sitting on the throne, king of half of the Pandya kingdom. Over time, he got very caught up in his duties as a king, my dear friends. Very much synonymous to many, many times that we may be getting caught up in many so-called duties of life. And Natha Muni was feeling very sad, his grandfather. I said, well, this is not what I wanted Jamuna to be. He didn't. I said, this is not what I wanted him to be, a king. So he was on his deathbed. So Natha Muni called one of his very, very intimate disciples. If I'm not mistaken, his name was Ram Mishra. And he called him and said, my instruction to you is, please get Jamuna back to the path of devotional service. He's astray. He's investing his time in the fair weather friends. He's investing his time in things which are temporary. He's just wanting to expand his kingdom. And by that time, Jamuna Charya, Alabandhara is one who is the conqueror. He was famous as Alabandhara. And he was expanding his kingdom, and he was in the passion of achieving. Many times we have this, what is called the achiever syndrome. We all want to be achievers. Whatever I do, I want to be achiever. I want to be the best DT dresser. I want to be the best book distributor. I want to be the best manager. I want to be the best youth preacher. I want to be the best businessman. Achiever syndrome is there. That's the passion. We discussed last time about the mode of passion. It just overpowers us, and we're constantly operating in the mode of passion. And mode of passion means the mode of achieving. And when you're mode of passion, you cannot perform bhakti, which is required to be done in anything but mode of passion, in the mode of goodness and mode of pure goodness. You need to come down, or not down, you need to grow, I'm sorry, to the mode of goodness. So Alabandhara was in a passion of expanding his kingdom. And Ram Mishra got his instruction. He said, how do I reach? He's a big king now. How do I reach this big person? Because he was not even interested in spiritual life. So Ram Mishra had a beautiful understand. He went to the kingdom. He saw there was so much of royal, pompous, lifestyle that he was living in. He had forgotten his lifestyle of simplicity. And then he said, there's a particular leaves which is called Tuduvalai. Maybe South Indians will know. Tuduvalai is some leaves which actually, the leaves, by eating those leaves regularly, you come to the mode of goodness. You come to the mode of righteousness and you can understand spirituality better. Such are the leaves that are existing. Krishna has given us leaves. So Ram Mishra took those leaves which grew near the palace, and he made a sabji, and he approached the king's cook. I said, "Oh, you are a great, wonderful cook. You are a brahmana. I have made this sabji for the king, and this Tuduvalai, you all know, you also are a cook. It will help him to become very, very, very sober, and he can think better. You can expand his kingdom much better. Please offer him this sabji. I'll get it every day for him." So every day for the next 2 months, he got this sabji, very, very tasty Tuduvalai sabji. And then suddenly he didn't come after 2 months. And by this time, Jamunacharya, who was Alabandara at that time, was very attached. He said, "Where is that sabji now? You didn't get it to me." He was getting it. The cook had to say, "Well, I was getting it because somebody was getting it from me and he was cooking for you. He didn't come today." I said, "Why? I want to find that person. Please find him." I said, "We don't know where he is." I said, "Please, whenever he comes next, you get him to me. I want to meet him." I said, "Surely." And then after a few days, Ram Mishra came to the king. The cook said, "Hey, well, where are you?" I said, "Well, I just gone out." I said, "Please, the king wants that sabji again. Come." And then Ram Mishra actually got the audience with Jamuna. His heart was, "When will I get him back to the path of Krishna consciousness as per the instructions of my guru, Natha Muni, the desire of his grandfather?" So he said, he spoke the language which Jamunacharya wanted to hear. This is important. The preacher has to speak what audience wants, but speak the things that they will be uplifted, not demoted by. He said, "You know something, Jamunacharya, I know that you have been conquering kingdoms, you need a lot of wealth." Jamuna said, "Yes, I need a lot of wealth." I said, "Your grandfather, Nathamuni, has left a huge wealth for you, and he has given this message that I should tell you this wealth. About the wealth." I said, "Wow, tell me about the wealth." I said, "I need to take you to that place. The place which is surrounded by seven walls. Protected by a serpent. There's a river flowing nearby. And every once in a year, a yaksha comes to worship to make sure that it is safe. I want to take you to that wealth." I said, "Okay, I'll get my whole army to get." He said, No. "It can't be with the whole army. It has to be only you alone, because nobody else should know the location of this wealth." And of course, he went on, and as they were walking, you all know very well they were going. They were going to the kingdom of Ranganathji. And then, as they were walking, he was giving lectures on the Bhagavad Gita to Jamuna. And every day by hearing Bhagavad Gita, he was slowly, slowly getting reminded about his life as a brahmachari in the ashram of Bhavasacharya. I said, "What have I done?" He was slowly, slowly feeling repentant. And then when it's explained in the Shastra, that when he spoke this verse, the Bhagavad Gita 12.8 verse, Mayeva mana advaishto mayi buddhim niveshaya. He said, "Fix your mind on me alone. Let your intellect rest in me and you will be in me alone thereafter. There is no doubt about this." And when he heard this verse, he said, "I want to rest my life in the feet of Lord Krishna. Because that is the permanent place that I want to do all my investments in." That's where we come to the point of our discussion today, my dear friends. Jamunacharya realized after all the life, he was 35 years old after that. He had spent close to 25 years of his life as a king. But he said, now after hearing this verse from the mouth of a pure devotee in the form of Rama Mishra and his association, he realized that I have been trying to find my pleasures. ಈಧನ ಯೌವನ ಪುತ್ರ ಪರಿಜನ ಇಚ್ಛೆ ಕಿಯಾಚೆ ಪರತೀತಿರೆ ಕಮಲ ಜಲ ಜಲ ಜೀವನ ತಲಮಲ ಭಜ ಹೂ ಹರಿಪದ ನೀತಿರೆ. ಕೃಷ್ಣದಾಸ್ ಕವಿರಾಜ್, ಗೋವಿಂದದಾಸ್ ಕವಿರಾಜ್, ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಭಜನ್. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ ಡಿರೈವ್ಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್, ಯೂತ್, ಈ ಧನ ಯೌವನ ಪುತ್ರ, ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಮೆಂಬರ್ಸ್, ಎಸ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್, ನೋ ಡೌಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಟ್, ಬಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಶಾರ್ಟ್ ಲಿವ್ಡ್. ಹೌ ಶಾರ್ಟ್ ಲಿವ್ಡ್ ಯು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್, ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ದಟ್ ಹೌ ದಟ್ ಶಾರ್ಟ್ ಲಿವ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಮಚ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ವಾಟರ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ಟೇ ಆನ್ ಅ ಪೆಟಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಲೋಟಸ್. ಯು ಆಲ್ ನೋ ಪೆಟಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಲಿಪರಿ, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಲಿಪ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್, ಸ್ಲಿಪ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್. So that's how short-lived. He said, that's why bhajahu haripada niti re. The only right niti, the only right understanding is to take the shelter of Krishna and Krishna alone. But those are permanent shelters. Krishna is achuta, is infallible. If you take shelter of that person who is always, who is infallible, then you will never be in any trouble. Till the time you take shelter of things which are temporary, those are fallible soldiers as we say, will never be happy. So Krishna is again in this beautiful verse, and through this story we are trying to just understand that how we must understand that there is constant change which is happening, and for us we should try to see that how this change can be towards becoming more and more Krishna conscious, and not towards becoming more and more too entangled in the material complexities of life, as Prabhupada said in his talk. And it is very, very much possible. Let us not think that just because we are chanting Hare Krishna, or we are coming to temple few days a week, or we are doing lamps on Kartik. Yes, there is a lot of benefit in doing so. But till that time we are not consciously performing devotional service and consciously understanding that the real place I want to invest my time, my energy, my heart, my soul is in the lotus feet of my spiritual master, and the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But these are infallible soldiers. Rest, everything else is constantly changing. And we invest in things we are constantly changing. You will be despondent at some point in time. Just like people who invest in stocks, which they think are going to go high, but because they are fallible, they become despondent, and that becomes the cause of their suicide. So we do not want to commit spiritual suicide. And let us understand, let us take these changes in our life as part of life, and pray to Krishna that let these changes bring us more and more and more closer to lotus feet of our spiritual master, lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And on this wonderful month of Kartik, let us, of the many, many prayers that we are making from our hearts, it's a wonderful month of prayers, wonderful month of receiving special mercy from the abode of mercy in the form of Srimati Radharani. It is her month. Let there be one prayer we make, that Krishna, please, at some point in time of my life, let me realize that I am not this body. Till the time I don't realize I am not this body, I will still be doing things which are connected to this body and pleasures through this body. Until that time, I will not be able to surrender to you. So let this be one of the prayers that we can add, if you are not already doing, in our prayers for Kartik. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.